Welcome to Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation in suburban Chicago. Shema is Hebrew for hear, and we hope you'll be blessed as you hear God's Word exposited from a Messianic Jewish perspective. Join us as Pastor Dan Strull opens the scriptures that reveal, from Genesis to Revelation, God's loving redemptive plan for Israel and the nations.
As you all know by now, we are celebrating Sukkot this week. We began our celebration on Wednesday evening out in the parking lot under the sukkah, and God in His mercy held off the rain, and we had a great time together out there, although it was a little dark. We discovered that there are no lights on the outside of the building, or none that we knew how to turn on, let me put it that way. But we had a great time nonetheless, and one of the things that I did on Wednesday evening was to talk about Psalm 121, which is called a Psalm of Ascents. There's a series of psalms at that part in the book of Psalms that are called Songs of Ascent, and there are some disagreement amongst scholars, but there are many scholars who believe that they are so-called Songs of Ascents because they were songs that were sung by pilgrims as they went up to worship God in Jerusalem at the temple. And of course, Sukkot is the third of the three pilgrim feasts. And the three pilgrim feasts are, what's the first one? Passover. The second one is Shavuot. The third one is this one, right, Sukkot. Very good. And so all three of those holidays are linked together in that in each one, God commands His people to come up to Jerusalem, the men, especially the men who are a fighting age, actually, to come and worship Him in Jerusalem. And on Wednesday evening, we talked about the idea that it must have been very nerve-wracking for all of the men to leave wherever they were living in the nation and come to Jerusalem because it would leave their homes and their towns and their cities exposed to attack. And we looked at a verse in which God said, "I will make sure that nobody will covet your land when you come up to me in Jerusalem." And just this great reminder that this sukkah, this very temporary building, is a reminder that it is God Himself who is our protection. That's where we find our security. We talked about security blankets and security dolls on Wednesday night, and I asked how many of you had either a security blanket or a security toy or some object that as a child and perhaps into your adult years you kept with you because it made you feel safe and secure. How many of us had those? Okay, and so many of us can relate to that. If you didn't have one, I can almost guarantee that you knew somebody who did. And we talked about the fact that Sukkot is a great reminder that God wants to use this holiday to point us to the fact that He is our strength and our security. And so we did this a few years ago, and I need four men volunteers. Okay, thank you. We're going to make a tabernacle in here, even though we are going to go outside in a moment to celebrate together under the olive trees tabernacle. So if you guys can find a corner, hold it out. Yes, there we go. Great. And now I'm going to invite the kids to come up and join me. You guys can just stand around underneath me here. And so this is what the scriptures call a sukkah. A sukkah is just a temporary dwelling, and it could be made out of sticks and leaves and plants. It could be made out of a tent of cloth of some kind. They were used by shepherds sometimes out in the fields or people who were working in the fields. So it was a temporary dwelling. A sukkah is a temporary dwelling. There's no description of how they're to be built other than you're to take the leaves of beautiful trees and branches and things like that. So we don't know exactly how they were built. But suppose we were outside in our sukkah and a really, really strong wind came along. What would happen? No, let's not simulate that. a really, really, like a tornado came through. Would this sukkah keep us safe?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Now, suppose there was a huge storm, a huge, huge storm, a rainstorm with thunder and lightning and tons of water. Would this sukkah keep us dry and safe? No, it wouldn't, would it? Well, but if we are in our sukkah right now, where we are right now, if a big wind came up, would we be safe?
Yeah.
Right. And if a big rainstorm came along, would we be safe?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Why?
That's
right, because we're inside a building. There's something much bigger and stronger all around us that's protecting us from the elements, right? Right. Well, that's exactly why God has us go out into
it.
Yeah, there is a big wind. We'll be feeling that in just a few minutes. But that's exactly why God calls us every year to go out and to live in the sukkah, because he wants us to remember that it isn't the buildings we live in or the fields that we farm or the jobs that we have or the things that we think we rely on and keep us safe, but that it is God himself who is our security and our provider, and that we are safe in this world because of his love and his faithfulness for us. And so when we go out in the sukkah, that's what I want you to remember. I want you to look around at the canvas walls of our sukkah and the bamboo roof of it, and think about, as you're grabbing something to eat, think about the fact that God is the one who really protects us and God is the one who really provides us for us. Okay, thank you very much, children. You may be seated. Go back to your parental units. Thank you, gentlemen. It's good to have a trade. And so it's appropriate that we remember that theme on this Sukkot. And there are several reasons for that. Number one is that this is our first Sukkot in our new home, right? We have since 19... Amen. But I just want to remind you that we were without a home of our own since 1978, October of 1978. In fact, this is our 34th, is that right? 33rd anniversary? Oh, two more years, we'll get to celebrate our 35th. So, our 33rd anniversary, and it is just a very, very excellent idea for us, every Sukkot, to be reminded that our existence as a congregation, our ability to minister effectively for the sake of the gospel, our ability to serve one another, to reach out into our community, even our ability to come together as a believing community to offer worship and praise to the Lord is not dependent on this building. And God forbid we should ever find our dependence in this building. But by the grace of God, as we celebrate Sukkot from year to year, may it be a reminder from him to us that he is the one who provides for us. He is the one who enables us to have fruitful ministry and not this facility. We are grateful for this facility. We praise God for giving us this facility. We are looking forward to how he wants to use it for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel. We're excited about all of that. But like I said, God forbid this ever takes his place in our thinking. And so that's one of the reasons it's appropriate for us to celebrate Sukkot. Another reason that it is appropriate for us to celebrate Sukkot is that even as Sukkot is a great reminder that our security is in the Lord, it's a great reminder too that our contentment is in the Lord and not in the things around us, not in the things that we cherish and we love. I was reading a news magazine that I get each week. There was a page in it of all gadgets, all related to coffee. And so since I'm a coffee drinker, I was interested, and I'm a gadget person, so I was very interested in this page. But on this page, there was a $250 espresso machine. There was an $80 milk frother. There was a this is a different category. There was a $400 room heater, a space heater, $400. I won't tell you what brand. And there was a blurb about the new iPhone 4S, which was a great disappointment to people who were hoping for the iPhone 5. And in this little blurb on the iPhone 4S, it said it was marginally better than the iPhone 4, quote, which is more than a year old. Can you believe that? It's more than a year old. And it's like, you know, you lust after getting that new phone, right? And then it's a year old and you're already lusting after the newest one that you're hoping that they're going to bring out sometime in the next 6 months or year. And our world just surrounds us with advertising of all different kinds that is designed scientifically, sociologically, psychologically engineered by the brightest human minds available to breed discontentment in us. That's all it's there for. Most of the things that we see advertisements for do not fall into the category of need, although a reliable coffee maker might fall into that category. But the latest and greatest model that has a thermal carafe and grinds the beans and empties itself and does the dishes for you is not really a need. And our society, especially this American society, which God has blessed as He has so abundantly financially, that we are a consumer society and our entire economy is based on consumption. And it is very easy for us to develop a heart of discontent. And when we start lusting after things, it's when we get into trouble. When we start desiring those things that we don't have, that look so shiny and beautiful and have the appearance that they're going to make our lives simpler and better and more efficient. And some of them do. Some of them actually work. But it's when we start wanting these things that we don't have and that we think we need that we start looking elsewhere to get our needs met. And we forget to give praise and thanks to God for meeting our needs. And God knew that for Israel, especially as they were in the land and they were faced with difficulties and they had needs of all different kinds, that the temptation for them would be to have those needs met by worshiping the gods around them, the false gods, the pagan gods. And so too in our culture, we are challenged and we are tempted to follow the gods of consumerism, to seek fulfillment and contentment in our lives based on what we own and whether it's the newest or the latest or the greatest. Or maybe it doesn't for us, maybe for you it isn't the newest and the latest and the greatest. Maybe for you if it's the oldest, right? Maybe you're a Luddite at heart and you take pride in the fact that your technology is really old. But whatever it is, it can draw us away from our contentment being in God. And Sukkot is a wonderful reminder that it is in God that our needs are met, and that it is God Himself who calls us into His presence for this seven-day feast. A feast. We don't think of it as a feast because we don't feast during it. But that was God's intention. He says, bring with you in your hand money from the things that I have enabled you to produce in your life and buy that which will make your heart glad and come and enjoy a fellowship meal with me in my presence in Jerusalem, living in your temporary shack to remind you that all good things come from my hand, all good things. And I think it was that whole context that Yeshua had in mind when he stood up on the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, which involved this amazing water pouring ceremony that we reenacted last year. So I won't go into detail on it, but if you'd like to know more about it, you can listen to the MP3 file. You can get it on our website from last year. But this amazing water pouring ceremony where the priest goes down to the pool of Siloam and he fills a pitcher and people are singing and praising the Lord and he walks back up to the temple area and he pours out at the side of the altar this pitcher of water out of this golden pitcher and people are chanting over and over again, save us now, save us now, save us now, lift up your hand high, lift up your hand high. And in the midst of this frenzy of praise and worship of the people of Israel coming before God and beseeching him for the rain that they need for the coming year, for the new year, because this is now the beginning of the rainy season in Israel, that they're crying. And Yeshua stands up and he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Let him come to me. It says in John 7, verse 38, he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Will flow rivers of living water. And what's so interesting is in Zechariah, the passage I read for us as we were getting ready to recite the Shema, it says this, just before the words that I read earlier in the same chapter, in chapter 14, verse 8, it says this, and in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. And that may be a reference to actual streams of water, that an abundance of water is going to exist in Jerusalem, and part of it's going to flow to the Mediterranean and part of it's going to flow to the Dead Sea. That may be the implication, but there's no doubt in my mind that Yeshua was drawing on that as he stood up and he pointed to himself. And he said, I am it. That promise of waters being poured out is fulfilled in me. And John says in the next verse, and he says, and Yeshua was speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given. And the whole reason that the context of the Holy Spirit makes sense in this context is that all of the things that are depicted for us in Zechariah, when God reigns and rules in Jerusalem and God's people are walking in faithful fellowship with him, all of that comes to pass as a result of the new covenant. And it is the new covenant, through the new covenant, that God gives us new hearts. New hearts. And that new covenant and that new heart is brought to us by the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Jesus. And so when we go out and we celebrate Sukkot, we are being reminded that, yes, it is not our homes, it is not our job, it is not our bank account in which we find our security, but it is in the God of heaven and earth. And it is not in the things that we buy or possess or that we find joy and satisfaction, at least for a temporary period of time, as we purchase new things, rather that we find our contentment. But that contentment is found in the Lord himself. But all of that, that security and that contentment, all flows out of a heart that has been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And that regeneration takes place because of the finished work of Messiah Jesus. And so he says, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me. When we want to experience the fullness of all that God is and wants to be in our lives, we find it through faith in Messiah. So as we go out this morning and we conclude our service out in the sukkah, may God engage our hearts as we grab a nosh in there and eat. May God engage our hearts in a way that we will see Yeshua, that we will find in him the security and the contentment that comes from a right relationship with God through faith in his Son. And for those of us who don't have the confidence that we have that relationship, it is our prayer that today will be the day you enter into that relationship. And we would love to talk with you about that and help you understand what that means. And so if you'd like to make that reality real in your own life today, please speak with me. I invite you to come and speak with me after we're done outside, or one of the elders of the congregation, Craig or Joel. We would be delighted to talk with you this morning. And for those of us who are already in that relationship, as we go out into the sukkah, if God shows you someplace where you're looking for your security outside of him, God shows you someplace where you're looking for your contentment somewhere outside of him, don't stand there and beat yourself up. Confess it. for what it is, confess it as sin. Thank him that that sin is covered through Messiah's work on your behalf, and ask him to work afresh in your heart to turn away from whatever it is that you're trusting in that isn't the Lord, and to take the next step of faith in walking with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the chance to celebrate it before you. We thank you for the layer upon layer upon layer of meaning and significance that is bound up in this feast of Sukkot. But Lord, we thank you that it is this amazing reminder that you are God and that you rule, and that our security, Lord, our contentment really is found in one place and one place alone, and that is in you. So Lord, give us grace to seek that in you through your Son, in whose name we ask this. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about the Jewish roots of Christianity or how to find eternal life through Messiah Jesus, please join us at the Olive Tree Congregation on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock in Prospect Heights, Illinois. Olive Tree Congregation is a family-friendly community of Jews and Gentiles sharing new life in Messiah Jesus. For more information, please call us at 847-222-1230 or visit us on the web at www.olivetreechicago.org.